Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kenny.
What do you think of all that?
There's just one thing in particular that bothered me, and it won't matter to our audience because I don't think we share. I don't think we share the viewing habits, or I share the viewing habits of a lot of our audience. I watch so much of The Bachelor and Bachelorette because it's the only thing that me and my wife can agree on to watch. It's the only thing we find commonality in television understanding. And we are coming off a hellacious Bachelorette season that Kenny, I know you're not going to go back and watch it, so I don't want to kill the vibe. I don't want to also ruin by giving away the ending or anything like that.
Just ruin it.
But it was a complete and utter waste of time for everybody involved.
Well, what does this have to do with anything?
Because one of the evil characters from the last season of The Bachelorette used the term that Deshaun Watson used in there, keep the main thing the main thing. He said it 25 times to the point where it became a used on the show. They made fun of him so much. Jesse Palmer, he made fun of him at the reunion. And so the main thing, I didn't know that people were saying that all over the place.
Wait, and the character said that or Deshaun Watson yesterday?
He said it in the clip that Owen played.
I know, but you're saying Jesse Palmer made fun of Deshaun Watson?
No, Jesse Palmer made fun of one of the contestants that hung around for a long time.
And
on
kept
the
saying, keep the main thing
and
the main
said,
thing.
We're here for Jen, and I just want to keep the main thing the main thing. And he said it 1,000 times. And now I hear Deshaun Watson saying it.
So you think he's
watching
The Bachelor?
Have you ever? Maybe that might be. He might be really enjoying it, like me and my wife.
I don't know. Maybe I said it. I don't know.
I've never heard you say it.
Because I probably have never said it. I say lots of things at different times of the day. I don't think that I've ever said it. Maybe I've thought it.
Can you imagine ever saying that?
I'm going to say it later on today. Right. I guarantee it now. Well, now it's going to happen.
But now you almost have to say it as a gag. Because I, just to mess with my wife, last week, she went off on me any number of things every day, and I go, Sarah, I'm just trying to keep the main thing the main thing.
No, you didn't.
The main thing. And
I swear to God, I had not heard. I'd heard most of the Deshaun Watson press conference. I didn't hear him say, keep the main thing the main thing. Like, if you're on your way to school today, and your algebra teacher just says, why didn't you do the homework, or what?
Trying to keep the main thing the main thing.
Mr. Kowalski, I'm just trying to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, but in your schoolwork, supposed to be in the main thing, son? Isn't that exactly what you say back?
Are you on the football team?
What are you trying to say?
Depends on the school.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
I'm from Stark County. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
So what's the main thing there?
You know what it is. Tomorrow night.
In the county in which you've called the SEC of Ohio.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That's the main thing.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
Damn right. Hey, your algebra test will be there Monday. We got a football game to win. Let's go.
I always wondered this. So I'd like to think, because of what we do for a living, our goal is to not spew cliches. If you are a sports talk radio show host and you spew cliches, you're probably not going to be on long. It would seem
I just
silly.
Thought of a line that would get me dumped. Never mind.
Go ahead.
No, because you'd have to dump it.
Does the average person that does not have a radio show, just someone who's got makes way more money doing other things, or just the person that clocks in every day for whatever job they have, did they spew cliches the way the football players or athletes spew cliches.
No. Managers do in business. Managers do in business.
Like we're going to circle back.
Oh, yeah. They are soul-sucking. Like to circle back with you. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple. We don't really have managers who do that. But there's like all those sayings that they do that stuff a lot. There's also like it's almost like that type of speak. Downstairs, there's a gym. Obviously, I don't use it very much. There's a gym, and it has those inspirational photos. And I'm like, you guys got to take those things down. There's nothing more soul-sucking than those
inspirational feel-good photos.
They are the 80s and 90s motivation.
Bad. When it just says inspiration, dedication, and it just shows some sunset. And I'm going, these things suck. There's for my generation, there's nothing that's worse. There is no less motivating thing than motivational posters. Nothing less. And they still put them out there. And I go, you guys decided to decorate that gym, which a lot of people I see using as I'm walking by. I do too.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You guys decided to decorate with that. I mean, I'd rather you leave barren walls than have that. That's terrible. Terrible. And they are huge, and they're framed. I'm like, man, these were really expensive, and I hate them.
The fact absolutely that they're framed.
Absolutely hate these posters.
Like the fact that if the building went out of business tomorrow, and they're like, hey, free framed cliche inspirational posters. Are you taking them? Is anybody taking them?
Kevin Schumann says, keeping the main thing is said by every coach every day has been forever. Kevin, I've talked to a lot of coaches. None of them have said that.
Keeping the main thing.
If it is, I haven't played sports in a long time.
Hundreds and hundreds of coaches in 20 years. None of them have said keep the main thing in multiple sports. Twitter reactions brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Well, he is keeping the main thing. I don't know if it's the main thing to the fan base, though, right now. How focused do you think...
Well, looking on the other thing isn't as good as looking at the main thing.
How focused is the fan base on Jacksonville right now? I think we forget there's a game on Sunday, considering all this other stuff.
Boy, and I'm telling you what, just on my text threads, I almost thought over the last few days there was so much Guardians on my text threads just to get off of that horrible game. And then, you know, this weekend, the weekend comes around, 1 o'clock, you have a chance to make amends. They can easily start out 1-1, then you have this cupcake schedule over the next month. So that's kind of how we're approaching it. We're not really sitting there in the weeds on that. That game was so bad.
Yeah, but there's no game to break. I don't know what the Browns. See, we learned nothing about the Browns last Sunday.
There's no nothing. No situational football.
Anything. We learned one thing. They're not prepared yet.
Oh yeah, but as far as like they don't have an identity right now.
Right.
Offensively, defensively, I think because the offense played so bad, I think they got I think they got some of their stink on the defense, and now we got these injuries here.
And then you had a special teams gaffe.
Yeah.
I wonder what the percentage of games in the NFL, if you give up a kickoff return for a touchdown or a punt return for a touchdown,
like
what percentage of games are lost in that scenario?
It's a bad...
You think it's pretty high?
Yes, I do. I think it's a bad day. I think it's a really bad day. It's not like... It's a bad day, but I don't learn anything from it. I mean, if you were going to go and you wanted to be a cynical Browns fan and say, well, that's your same old Browns. Okay, fine. But it's not until you get to this week and next week when you really start to develop patterns here of what you really are. And we might find out this week and next week that they just suck up the room and they have a real big problem here. And we could start to find negative identities with them. But before, I can't find an identity for them because it was such a terrible first game of the season. I can't stick them in any sort of one component of what they are. I don't know if that's even the word for it. I can't put them in a category, I should say. I can't put them in a category of what they are. There's teams that we assume that they were going to be probably what they are. Kansas City's a really good team. They're at the top. Carolina is a more bun franchise right now. I hope that Bryce Young is somewhat stabilized at all throughout this year, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, those are, like, if you want to do the unwatchables, Carolina's already on the list. Mm-hmm. They're already on the list. And we might do that a little bit later on today, but especially because Thursday Night Football's on tonight. So what I'm pointing out is that I don't know very much about them. So if I don't know very much about them, I'm automatically going to take the negative viewpoint. And because they played so poorly, I have to take the negative viewpoint on all that. Right now, I have no identity. And really, the conversation this entire week has been about the quarterback and whether or not he's going to be on the field by the end of the year. Whether that be because of play or really whether it be because of all this other stuff that Kevin Stefanski was asked about yesterday. And it was, it really got a lot of people wondering a lot of different things. These are short clips. He was asked, did he consider not playing Watson amid these allegations?
Not playing him given the seriousness of the allegations?
No.
Okay, so he's going to play him. He was asked if the organization was caught off guard by the allegations.
Did the allegations catch the organization by surprise, Kevin?
I was not aware of the allegations.
When he says he's not aware of the allegations, a lot of people went, uh-oh. Because if you're not aware of the allegations, you were supposed to be aware of this, were you not?
Yeah, well, it was the one thing that when it happened, that was my number one question the next morning was, what did the Browns know? What did the NFL know? Does this open themselves up again to what apparently we have been opened up to? I mean, the NFL has not come out and shut that down. Nope. The NFL's investigating. There is it. Like, I don't know. Do you have a gut feeling? I know it's one thing to have a gut feeling on the actual games that they play every week. Do you have a gut feeling on
how this will turn out?
Yeah,
I think he'll finish the season.
Yeah, like I don't have that feeling of this is going to get nastier and nastier every day. It's a he said, she said, and it's a case that came out four years later, and the details of the case are terrible, but there are also aspects in the details of the case where you're like, well, that doesn't seem smart. That doesn't seem like a good move on her part if she had never met Deshaun Watson before. And so that's what sucks, that we are placed in that position of having to make assessments on behavior of complete strangers.
But I have to go by what's real here. And what's real is, because there's plenty of people, and you're right, there's plenty of people on the internet. There's plenty, Browns fans on the internet hoping that the NFL, this was not disclosed to the NFL, so they can move on from Deshaun Watson sooner than later and not have to be on the hook for such a huge cap hit. There's people rooting for that. Okay, well, that's fans on the internet and probably would call in. Their hope. That's not in real life. I got to let this process of what the NFL is going to do play out. So I can't sit there and root on whether or not that this is going to happen one way or the other. I have to see the way it goes because it's a civil suit. There's legalities here. I got Rusty Harden putting out statements now. Tony Busby releasing more. I mean, the I team is down there talking to him and all this other stuff. I mean, again, it's what we went through in 2022. And a lot of people are like, man, I'm just tired of it. They want to wash their hands of it. All right, but the NFL is not going to make, because they have a players union they have to work with, they're not going to just come right out and say, he's done. We didn't know about. They have to go through every single possible thing. So my idea was this was either going to happen very, very quickly or he's going to end up playing the entire year. Am I wrong about that?
No, I'm with you every step of the way there.
All right, because I'm open-minded to that time frame because that's a long time frame. We're talking till January.
I know, and now the NFL has to go back and try to find text messages and see what was said after the fact. You know, it's commonplace.
4 years ago.
Right, it's commonplace in situations like this. I imagine that, you know, they knew something about this and there's some records surrounding it that it didn't just fall out of the air 4 years later, but you never know in these cases. It's a high-profile athlete. It's somebody who's been in the news. We've been through this so many times with so many accusers.
Yeah, it has unfortunately become old hat for everybody. And Deshaun Watson was asked about all this. Well, first off, he was asked about the distractions by the lawsuit, says that he's not being distracted.
Focus on football. I focus on keeping the main thing, and that's when I walk into this building, focusing on being the best quarterback I can be, on the game plan, and trying to be better than we were last week so we can get a W.
I believe that's what he wants. I don't know how that cannot be a distraction.
Right, right.
Pretty big allegation. You would
imagine so, and you wonder how the team is dealing with it. Is the team, do they walk on eggshells around him? Do they Do they have serious conversations about this? Are they allowed to with Deshaun, or does he have relationships within the team that pierce through that and allow him to have human interaction? We've never seen a human side of Deshaun. We just don't get that. We're not privy to that. He doesn't trust the media. He's not going to do that. We talked about that earlier in the week. He only has one speed in the way that we ever hear him. We don't hear him really ever introspective about anything going on in his life and totally understand why. This isn't a criticism. Like, I don't think anybody's been in this
situation
before.
There's not very many things he can say because, again, since he's been here, there have still been pending civil suits against him.
Right, so that's why I ask, what is it like?
He can't
give
us everything.
What is it like with his teammates? Like, who are his best friends on the team, whoever that is? Like, we knew who Baker's best friends were. Who are his best friends? And can they pull him aside?
I don't know.
And have open, honest conversations? Or does the minute practice end, is Deshaun Watson going back to his home and that's it?
But like, I'll tell you this.
We just don't know.
I will tell you this. I am told that practice yesterday was very spirited. Very loose. Very excited. Practice was very spirited. They seemed to all be in high spirits. That's good. They got boat raced on Sunday. They're moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it also makes
sense. Got that.
It also makes sense when you get humiliated and was that the most watched game of the week or the second most watched game of the week? Was Thursday? I'm not sure. But everybody was watching that game. It's the Cowboys. Tom Brady was doing the game. Nobody thinks your football team is good. That's actually probably an easy rallying cry for the coaching staff this week. Like it probably wasn't hard to get everybody else focused on the task at hand. Deshaun, that's another story.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Guardians are pulling away. 4.5 game lead. They took care of the White Sox the way we had been hoping they would take care of them all year. They've
really
come alive.
Didn't take care of them yesterday. They had three errors. It was a bad inning in one of them innings, man.
And you know what? They survived that bad third inning. They had given up four runs.
TCB.
They were able to recover. They kept the main thing, Kenny. 6-4, the win yesterday, and in fact, another stellar start, this time by Boyd. And the reason I laugh, I mean, he had 9 strikeouts. He gave up 6 hits and just 1 earned run. But, you know, it's the White Sox.
What are you trying to say?
Well,
they're a professional baseball team. It's not my fault that they suck.
Are they a professional baseball team?
Joey Cantillo was perfect through 6 2/3 against them.
Yeah, is this the closest thing to not being a professional team that is a professional team?
Absolutely.
That we've had in our lifetime.
In our lifetime?
Yeah.
They're pretty futile. I mean, they're probably going to finish with under 40 wins.
Yeah, I know Mitch.
Oh, my goodness
Mitch
gracious.
Will look into this because earlier in the week when we were talking about the White Sox, we were going over just how bad, what the record is going to be, and where they rank against the all-time worst teams. But in my lifetime, I mean, they are 33-114.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The losing streaks of what was it, 12 or more or 13 or
13
more?
13 or more games. They've done it 3 times this year.
I mean, that's unfathomable. So they did what they needed to do finally because they had struggled earlier in the year. And so in games like this, I don't know how many takeaways I have, but it's nice to see Stephen Kwan get a couple of hits. It's certainly nice to see Jimenez, it's nice to see Lane Thomas 3-for-4. Is he having a moment, Kenny? Has this now reached the point of he is red hot and this could be something?
He was great. He is batting over 400 in the month of September. He is fantastic lately, and thank goodness.
Seven-game hit streak. And then, if you think about this, he had the seven-game hit streak right now. If you take away that first or that second Kansas City game, he had two hits in the one game before that against Kansas City, three hits in the game before that against Pittsburgh. He's hitting off righties now, which is the one thing he couldn't do. Like Lane Thomas, we buried him, and it was bad. It was really, really bleak at the start. It looked like just an all-time nothing move, you know, before the deadline. And now he seems to be a bit of a weapon.
Let's not.
Do some people owe the Guardians
speak
an
too
apology?
Much. There's still 16 games left. No, there's no apologies
we're not
needed.
Apology
what's
mode?
An apology?
You heard what people had said about this team after the deadline.
Well, he's pretty hot lately, but I mean, there's no apology. Why do you need an apology?
Well, if you consider how...
Don't apologize for criticizing Lane Thomas, of all things. If you're criticizing Lane Thomas, then you have no backbone.
The whole team.
It's the whole team because they got eviscerated for, your big moves are Boyd, Cobb, Lane Thomas.
But that's my...
today, aren't you feeling pretty good about all those moves?
I'm not. No, don't apologize for criticizing the front... What, for going out and getting Lane Thomas?
So they
don't apologize for that?
They obviously they're always.
You don't need to say sorry to a professional ball club.
They're always doing it, but you know what? To this organization, don't you kind of have to?
No, I don't.
This organization proves
they get paid to make those moves. I don't need to apologize to anybody.
And there's a reason they are universally considered one of the best organizations, not in baseball but sports. But yet, all people wanted to do was bag on them, and it seems like they're playing good baseball at the right time.
You're pretty good at what you do. I hated your guts at this time yesterday. So what does that mean? Do I need to apologize for you or to you for that? No. Thank you. Moving on.
No, I don't think we are moving on. I don't think we can move on because
you want people to apologize to the
Guardians?
Here's
why. I sat there on my vacation.
216-474-0092. People need to apologize to the Guardians?
And Owen, look up their magic number. Their magic number now. Not just the playoffs. How about the number one freaking seed in the American
right
League?
Now.
So 15.
So you
guys,
want some sort of apology to you?
Yes, I do.
He wants
Ken,
an apology to him.
I'd like an apology for you because I was reading Ken apparently. While I was off that week, apparently Ken had everybody, I can't wait for Lyman to get back for he could take his medicine. Where's the medicine? Where's the medicine, everybody? Because the Guardians
are in
first place and they are going to win the division. And it looks like they have... Right now, collision course for the number one seed in the American League.
Now you stop getting loud and slapping the table.
For a wild card bye, and how much fun are we going to have in October?
That's unprofessional.
But where's my medicine?
Congratulations.
God, I was so right about this team the whole time. I was so right.
So you want an apology.
I was so right. Ken was wrong. He was life or death every game. He buried him.
I didn't bury him.
No, I did.
I never buried him.
I did have a tweet about the collapse. I did have a tweet that it looked like they were collapsing.
Yes, you did say there was going to be a collapse.
It did look like they were collapsing.
I never buried that.
It looked like they were collapsing.
I never buried them.
But they picked them up. Stephen Vogt, back on track, manager of the year. Are we back on track?
Come on, back on track for manager of the year.
You nothing.
Manager of the year.
Give me the odds on manager of the year.
Yes. Right now, vote your favorite.
There we go. There we go, Steve-O.
A lot of apologies. Can I collect some apologies? Let me know off the air, Mitch, when the apologies start to come in. Let me know. Or they can also go to the Odyssey app.
Oh, of course. Go to the coming in hotline on the Odyssey app. Just favorite 92.3 The Fan. Click on the microphone. You can apologize to Lima at that time.
We'll get him in.
Don't apologize to him.
Meanwhile.
Don't apologize.
Or if you just want to tell Ken how wrong he was, here's Stephen Vogt on
that
6-3 road trip.
What was I wrong about?
Incredible about it. I mean, this was a tough road trip. I mean, this late in the year to be gone for three cities, play some really tough teams, and I think for us to keep our concentration through this series, and our guys played really hard all throughout the trip this late into the year during this long stretch of games, this could have gone one or two ways, and I'm really proud of the way they played.
We know what way Ken thought it was going.
He called it baton. He said they're going in.
I didn't say any of that stuff.
It came out.
None of it was said by me. None of it was said by me. None of it. I said it was going to be a tough road trip. They finished 6-3 on the road trip. Good for them. I didn't say anything bad. What? I never buried them. You're the one. I don't know. They're going to get blown out in the first round. You guys were the ones saying that. I didn't say any of that stuff. What am I getting yelled at for? Yeah. Cat got your tongue over there on a radio show?
Here is Stephen Vogt on Boyd's outing. Yesterday.
I thought Matt really battled. The first thing he came out, foul tip away from an immaculate inning. And then I felt like his command and just like the zip on his pitches wasn't quite there today. And they did a really good job of battling him. We didn't have the cleanest inning there and they took advantage of it. And it was a very uncharacteristic inning for us. But I thought Matt threw the ball well. He just ran out of pitches.
Someone might say Matt Boyd battled his fanny off out there.
I like a good fanny battling off. It's always a good one. Like it a lot.
Something.
Like it a lot, Kenny. All right, so your right now, your perception on this team, this is unbelievable. It's every station, too. I'm sorry, guys. No matter what, we tried to put the golf channel on, and they're going over Deshaun Watson's contract.
Big, it bold just type matter. And 36, it's 36 font contract. Okay.
All right.
That's what they do.
Let's put all our silly dispute aside. How do you feel about this team seriously making a run right now? I know it's the White Sox. I know, whatever. But they've held their own. They clearly have stood the test of time this year. The fact that they are even still in this position when they had languished and played 500 ball for the better part of 3 months. Hmm. Do you get the feeling that fans are going to believe in this team yet? Or do you think they just won't until the playoffs start? They will just totally have to earn it.
I think they believe in this team. Well, what's believe?
Making a legitimate World Series run now. Because we know how open
they'll have to wait till the postseason. They'll have to wait till the postseason.
I would understand that if this were any other sport. This is the one sport where you just got to get in. I know that is the biggest cliche of them all. But this isn't the NBA where you got no shot. You know if you have a shot to make a finals
run. You know,
run.
That's the thing about baseball. Now, that is something I've heard more than the main thing is the main thing.
Like, think about the combination of not only have the Guardians stuck around this long and kept this really good record and have a chance
now. No one's calling to apologize to the Guardians, by the way.
Well, they might be doing the coming in hot button. So,
no, they're not.
I would hope that they are. Not only...
You owe them nothing. Don't apologize. The second you apologize to them, they're going to let you down. Do not apologize to them.
Not only do they have that record and have a chance to finish with the bye and the number one overall seed in the American League. But also, who are you scared of in the American League? Who are you scared of? So why don't you think, is it just you're a Cleveland fan or you're a Cleveland baseball fan?
I'm a little leery of the Astros. I'm really leery of the Astros. And
Aaron Judge. We get to see them the last series of the regular season. We're going to find out.
Yeah, you might need that series to be able to do all the stuff we're talking about. That's it. About last night.
Who's going to play first? Jed Wills or Nick Chubb? You're thinking about it, aren't you?
It's got to be Wills, right?
You'd think.
What happened?
I don't know.
This is a contract year, after all.
Yeah.
Is he just trying to put one game on tape?
I don't know. Trying to do the old Trey Lance. I'm good. We'll see.
His agents convince him you just need one game. You just need one game. Doesn't even matter who.
He's going to make sure he's healthy for the game of his life and then go, ready to hit free agency. This Browns, is your problem, not mine.
The Browns don't believe in me. I have a chip on my shoulder.
It's always how it goes. Then they got Kadarius Toney on the practice squad, and he set out practice yesterday with a minor injury.
Yeah, banged up already.
They showed a picture of him. Someone had a picture of him on the sidelines, and he had a towel over his head, and he's looking about the entire campus. And he had this look of like, boy, life comes at me fast, doesn't it? First round pick, and now I'm a practice squad player here. Like that,
in record time,
2021 was when he was drafted by the Giants?
And really the only reason he's a practice squad player at all is because he was a first round pick.
I mean,
had he been a fifth round pick that year, he's out of the league.
A lot of people have said a lot of things about Stephon Diggs over the last couple of years, but it's like, you know what? Stephon Diggs is still really, really good. He's been one of the best wide receivers in the NFL during his time. That guy was a fifth-round pick. And there's guys like that, and then there's guys like, you know, Kadarius Toney, Corey Coleman. It's a very inexact science. It's a very inexact thing.
They all look great at pro days, man.
Yep.
All these receivers look so good.
Man, alive. Tone, we have a game on Sunday. Do you want to go to Dave in Macedonia first, or do you want me to say what I'm about to say?
Say what you're going to say, and then we can do that.
All right. We have a game on Sunday. If Deshaun Watson struggles in that game, and you have a chance to win it, or you believe you have a chance to win it, would you pull him for Jameis Winston? 216-474-0092.
Okay, just go to Dave in Macedonia, then.
You don't think what? You wanted to talk
about
it?
Two games in? We're already talking?
Two games in.
Not even two games in. You're saying one game.
Listen,
and.
I'm not. All right. You're going to pay me out to say, because I'm asking you a question. I didn't give my answer yet. That's not how this is going to work. What's your answer?
No, I'm not pulling him. If the game is competitive and you're trying to win the game.
Well, let's see.
And you have him in a situation where he's trying to bring the team from behind. He's had a terrible game up to that point.
Yeah.
But it's still in reach, right? Well, still one or two possessions.
Well, let's see if Dave in Macedonia can talk me into making the decision to pull him. Dave, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hi, boys. Realistically, I was going to just say KC and Cleveland in the ALCS. But moving toward the Browns. Yeah, moving toward the Browns. When did the San Diego Sandman come on the payroll? When did he come on the payroll for the
Browns? Is that what you're called, Paulie Modesta?
Yeah.
You had a call like that on Monday, and now you've totally redeemed
yourself. I thought a Sandman from ECW, and I'm going, I don't think he's from San Diego. What are we doing here? It's been a while.
You think that first conversation was, hi, Paul, can you help us? We don't really know what the hell we're doing. So can you stand by? Absolutely not. We can't watch this for 16 games, can we? We can't watch this.
I don't know if you will, but you can.
Of it all. I'm talking about the performance of it all.
I said, I don't know if you will, but you can. Yeah.
I can't watch it.
Okay. So I know where you stand on this issue, Dave. So but I have to ask you the question so you're on record. If he struggled on Sunday, even though it's week two, and you had a chance to win the ball game, would you pull him?
Abso-blank-lutely.
I mean, I knew what he was going to answer, but I had to.
Yeah, I mean, just listen. It's, you know, think about it. The more he plays poorly, for whatever reason, the worse it is for the club, and not only, you know, on the field, but this is a team sport. Guy, did you see what Flacco? How he rallied us? I don't want to use that comparison, but it's fresh. I mean, he rallied us. The team certainly was rallied. Even the coach was rallied. I can't believe I'm going to say
this. Well, what were you going to say that you couldn't believe? Go ahead, say it real quick.
I feel bad for Stefanski, and I don't believe I'm saying this because I hold a little bit of animosity toward the decision they made. But because he's got to stand on the podium we're getting ready for Jacksonville. We're locked in. No, you're not.
Okay. Well, Dave.
No, you're not.
Dave, and thank you very much for the call. All right. Yeah, I asked Dave that question because people are looking at Joe Flacco like he's a superhero. What Joe Flacco did, and I said this towards the end of the show yesterday, you didn't disagree with me, and I brought this up on TV later in the day. What Joe Flacco did is he played within the system. Deshaun Watson of 2020 is not coming back. He's not there anymore. So he needs to trust these coaches. He needs to trust himself and his smarts to play within the system. And no, you can't sit there and go heavy tight ends. Hell, you don't even have enough tight ends. You can't go heavy every set, but you have to find something there that is going to protect him and not let him see ghosts, not let him run away, and get back to the basics of it. That's what you're trying to do. The old running around, making something out of nothing, That's done. Because he's running himself into trouble. He's holding on to the ball. This is no excuse for the offensive line. They were bad on Sunday. I mean, we're 4 days out, and I'm still talking about the offensive line. And guys, I love Joel Bitonio. It was a rough day at the office. I love Joel, and I like him personally a lot. Everybody knows that. It was a rough day at the office for Joel.
There's been like a handful of times over the last 5 years you've gotten that.
It's a rough day. But because of what his history, I'm not going to sit there and press panic buttons, but it was not the greatest day for our friend. That's not to excuse the offensive line play, but I can't have him making it worse holding onto the ball or just bailing out or trying to run around the pocket like I saw him do a couple of times, which is not the way you go about things. That was one of the biggest knocks on Michael Penix coming out of college. It's like, whoa, that's why you need still a little bit of time, because he has to trust, which was a good offensive line, to step up and step out instead of trying to go around, because you'll get caught trying to run around like Deshaun did back on Sunday. I'm still not going to remove him from play. If the game is winnable and he struggles, I know once I go through that door, I've taken all this week, it's been a distraction. They've had camera crews out there doing live shots over the last couple of days, and we all know why. There's a tremendous distraction going on. What you would do is you would basically do the equivalent of taking an M80 and throwing it in a refrigerator right there in your kitchen. If you were to put the backup quarterback in, because it tells you you no longer trust your quarterback, who you are still on the hook for an ungodly amount of money. And then when you have all this, you are going to fan the flames. I don't care, guys. It's still too early in the season. If he throws 5 interceptions, I would still keep him out there. I mean, that's how pivotal this is. That's how touchy this situation is right now. As much as people don't want to see him because he struggled and whatever, I can't remove him from the game. I couldn't do it. You have to convince me to do it. 216-474-0092. I will be open-minded about it. Lima, you and I are lockstep on this. You guys coming up, would you remove Watson from the game Sunday if he struggled to try to win?
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.